Welcome, dear listeners, to the evening session of today's Thursday Live. Hope you all had the pleasure of enjoying the live broadcast from the Sai Kulwant Hall, the Vedam chanting followed by the bhajan singing. It's time now to move to the next segment of Thursday Live, the bhajan tutor, the vintage bhajan tutor to be more precise. This week too, Brother Bishu will take you through the vintage bhajan tutor. That will be the first program of our evening session. I'll join you at around 7:30 for this week's Radio Sai answering booth, and then thereafter there will be the Vahini Satsang, which will be the concluding session of today's Thursday Live. Over now to Brother Bishu for this week's Radio Sai Bhajan Tutor. I'll join you soon after this episode of Bhajan Tutor.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we move on to learn another vintage bhajan, another bhajan which used to be sung in the 60s and 70s in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan, a very sweet bhajan on Lord Krishna. This is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Hare Krishna Madhusudana.
So in the next 45 minutes, we will learn more about the tune of the bhajan, the raga of the bhajan, the beat of the bhajan, and then we will also listen to a conversation on the significance of this bhajan, Brother Balram Chandran and Brother Mayur, members of the Sundaram Sai Bhajan Group. Sundaram is Bhagwan's abode in Chennai. They will share their thoughts and insights on the significance of the words that make this bhajan. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Hare Krishna Madhusudana, Hare Krishna Gunaranjana, Hare Krishna Yadunandana.
So with the lyrics clear, it's time to now learn to sing this bhajan. So as you hear the tune of this bhajan sung very slowly, please follow and get a hang of its tune.
This bhajan is set in the scale G Pancham.
Hare Krishna Madhusudana, Hare Krishna Madhusudana, Hare Krishna Madhusudana, Hare Krishna Madhusudana, Hare Krishna Gunaranjana, Hare Krishna Gunaranjana, Hare Krishna Gunaranjana, Hare Krishna Gunaranjana, Hare Krishna Yadunandana, Hare Krishna Yadunandana, Hare Krishna Yadunandana, Hare Krishna Yadunandana, Hare Krishna Madhusudana.
So that's the sweet bhajan from the yesteryears, and Brother Ashwath rendered it so beautifully for us to get a grasp of how the tune flows, and Brother Anirudh is following him. Let's spend a little more time ruminating on the swaras of the bhajan, the raga of the bhajan, and the simplicity and the beauty of this composition. Brother Anirudh is here with us to share his thoughts on the technical makeup of this bhajan. So Anirudh, what occurred to you when you first time heard this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
When I first heard this bhajan, I instantly fell in love with the bhajan because it gives a feeling of means I could relate to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showing us the mantra of Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Though the mantra is not fully there in the bhajan,
yes.
For me it gave a feel of a dhun.
Yes.
And just keep chanting this bhajan. Actually, this bhajan, in a way, can go on for something like 15 to 20 minutes.
Wow.
With just
yes
repeating the name. So what occurred to me was like a dhun and the name, the so powerful name,
yes,
but composed in a very sweet and a very filled with melody. The tune is so beautifully composed.
Hare Krishna Madhusudana, Hare Krishna Gunaranjana, Hare Krishna Yadunandana, Hare Krishna Yadunandana, Hare Krishna Madhusudana.
You don't even realize that the bhajan got over. It's such a...
Yes.
It tempts you to sing more again
yes,
and again.
Yes, yes.
That is a beautiful composition.
I think you should just share about, you know, quickly about the raga of the bhajan, and then let's do a dhun on this bhajan.
Yes, yes.
Brother Prabhakar also is here with us. I think it would be nice to lose ourselves in the bliss of this bhajan.
Yes, so the raga of this bhajan, I think, is, you can maybe classify into something similar to Dvijavanti in the Carnatic classical music. Raga is just told just on the basis of how the notes flow in the bhajan, need not be exactly in the raga. And Jai Jai Vanti is the Hindustani equivalent of this raga. And also, there are many other ragas which are just very close to the feel of this Dvijavanti. Ragas like Pilu and Kapi, these are very closely associated. So, I think this is a bhajan which is taken from a mixture of these ragas, like some 2-3 notes that just give the flavor of Pilu, or but more of Dvijavanti in the bhajan, especially in the second line.
Hare Krishna Gunaranjana, Hare Krishna Nisadani Re Ga Maga Mare Ga Re Nisada.
And I was just more singing of Pilu. Ni sa re pa ga re ni sa. When it comes to Dvijavanti, it is ni sa da ni re re ga ma re ga re ni ni sa. Just before telling other bhajans, I have something to share here.
Yes.
The raga name itself, Dvijavanti, is the Vaijayanti. Dvijavanti is the Vaijayanti mala which adorns Lord Krishna.
Oh, wow.
Jayanti is a beautiful word.
Yes.
And I get reminded when way back in 2004 when we did Sakubai Harikatha before Bhagwan, there was this wonderful song when Sakubai sings in the same raga on Pandari Vittala.
Yamuna Vihara Vittala Kamalendra Vinuta Vittala Kamalendra Vinuta Vittala Yamuna Vihara Vittala Bhava Papa Bhanga Vittala Bhava Papa Bhanga Bhava Papa Bhanga Vittala Shri Papa
vihara vithala. So it's a beautiful feeling. And there are many other bhajans in this raga, like Radhe Govinda Krishna Murari, Satya Sai Mukunda Murari. Radhe Govinda Krishna Murari, Nanda Nanda Radhe Govinda, Nanda Nanda Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda Sai Mukunda, Satya Sai Mukunda Murari, Satya Sai Mukunda Murari, Radhe Govinda Krishna Murari. Then there is this Kshirabdishayana Narayana, Shri Lakshmi Ramana Narayana.
Of course, there are two, three versions of the bhajan.
Yeah.
Kshirabdishayana. There is a Dujavanti version of the bhajan also, which is quite pleasing to hear. And perhaps this is the only bhajan in the pure Dujavanti, if I can say. If you sing in that the other way, but what Swami sings and Swami leads is a very simple tune for everybody to follow. Mm-hmm. And also, when you were singing the Yamuna song, so it just reminded me of this wonderful bhajan. Need not be exactly in the Dujavanti mm-hmm. or Pilu. It has a little bit of kapi flavors in it also.
Nanda Kishora Narayana Navanita Chora.
And also when you were mentioning about the Vaijayanti,
yes.
Jayanti Mala,
yes.
Even the bhajan.
Vaikunthapate Sai Hare Vaijayanti Mala.
So it has a play of all this Shuddhga, Komalga, and then coming into the taking the best of Dujavanti, Pilu, or Kapi, and then getting a simple tune which everybody can just sing and follow.
That Nanda Kishora Narayana bhajan is my first bhajan which I sang before Swami.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
On January 6, 2004.
Prashanti has its way of always taking us back to our roots.
Yes.
And it's so beautiful to have you for the bhajan classroom program. Everything in our life is orchestrated by him.
Yes.
Every moment. Wonderful. So let's now, how about doing a dhun, Anirudh?
Yes. We'll give a try based on the mantra Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Yeah, maybe you can sing the bhajan and then lead on to
yes,
the dhun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Madhusudana,
Hare Krishna Madhusudana,
Hare Krishna Madhusudana,
Hare Krishna Madhusudana,
Hare Krishna Gunaranjana,
Hare Krishna Gunaranjana,
Hare Krishna Yadunandana.
Hare Krishna Madhusudana.
Well, I think after such a blissful session, you don't want to really discuss the swaras, but we have to do it as our routine. So maybe we'll just do the swaras and complete
yes.
the session.
So the first line. Hare Krishna Madhusudana Gari Sani Sani Dadani Sani Sa. So you have to note that there are both knees coming. Gari Sani Shudani Sani Sani is Komal knee. Dadani Sani Sa.
Gare sani sani da dani sani sa.
Hare Krishna gunaranjana dani re 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 sa re ma ga re sa.
Dani re 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 sa re ma ga re sa.
I think it's the same usual beat, isn't it?
Yes, the beat of this bhajan is simple. 8-beat Aditalam in the Carnatic classical music or Keherva in the Hindustani classical music. And we had a good demonstration of the bhajan with Kanjira already.
Yes.
How the beat pattern goes. And it's a very medium bhajan, short and sweet, so we can sing during the end of the one-hour bhajan session.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Anirudh, Arvind Sai and Prabhakar.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So it's time now to move on and meditate on what this bhajan is conveying to us. And we will do it through a satsang. Brother Balram Chandran and Brother Mayur from Sundaram, Chennai, will now take us on a journey to understand what this bhajan can convey to us. It's of course their reflections and their insights, but this will help us as we ruminate on this bhajan, because every bhajan is an ocean and there are so many ways to understand and derive bliss from it. But you know, we share this bliss and that is how we make our lives blissful, enriching and purposeful. So let's listen to what they have to share and let us use this as another way to connect ourselves to the Lord through this bhajan.
Sai Ram, brother.
Jai Sai Ram.
Nice sitting with you again for contemplation on yet another bhajan. Again, we have a three-line bhajan. Hare Krishna Madhusudana, Hare Krishna Gunaranjana, Hare Krishna Yadunandana. Very beautiful namavali, just three lines.
So simple.
So simple. Deceptively simple, yes, like many other bhajans. In fact, I think you were mentioning just before we began our conversation how common the word Madhusudana is in so many of the bhajans that we sing. And I'm glad we had this discussion because I think we were talking about what the meaning of the word Madhusudana is. As per my limited understanding, the word Madhusudana literally means Madhu is, I think, a demon. And Sudana means the one who annihilates this demon. And Krishna is the Lord who annihilated the Asura Madhu.
How interestingly surprising.
Huh.
Such a beautifully sounding word.
Yeah.
Which is Madhusudana.
Huh.
Has a meaning which says the Lord who killed the Asura Madhu.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Hare Krishna Madhusudana. That's how I think the bhajan is. And even here, it's sung so sweetly. So many other bhajans, no?
So many, brother. So many bhajans where Madhusudana is sung in so many beautiful ways.
Yeah.
So like your Giridhara Govind where you have Manamohana Madhusudana, or even your Madhusudana Hare. So
absolutely.
Who would even think of the Lord who annihilated the Asura? You know, such soothing words.
Yeah, and it, by the contrast, no, you have Ravana Mardhana. It's actually very, very obvious. Ravana Mardhana is the one who you know, true. Annihilated or defeated Ravana, there, of course, from the, I think it's harsh enough for us to know what the act behind that word was. But yeah, I think interesting point that you mentioned. I think, as far as I can remember, a lot of bhajans with the word Mandara Giridari Madhusudana.
How beautiful.
Sung very softly. Maybe, I mean, I'm just thinking on my feet. I think maybe it also means, no, when even when the Lord has to do something this difficult, I think he does a very smooth job of it. So that's possibly how, you know.
With a lot of love.
With a lot of love, absolutely.
See, at the end of it, it is his own creation.
It's his own creation.
Even the Asura is his own creation. Uh-huh. So I think there's no partiality or parity for him.
Absolutely.
Must be full of love. That's why it sounds like
that. Interesting you mentioned this. If you read The Loving God by Kasturi Sir, there is a story, very, when I say story, it's of course his story. It talks about, you know, somebody who used to be on the staff, who used to be a staff of Kasturi Sir, I think during his Mysore days. Very humble man, a poor man. His daughter had got married to a railway employee who was, you know, not a very high grade employee, you know, possibly at the entry level, at the clerical level or possibly lower level. And he used to be very tough with this girl, harsh with this girl, suspect her unnecessarily and all that. So, very devoted person to see. In fact, whenever bhajans happen in Kasturi Sir's house, this old man whose daughter, you know, had been married off to this guy who was not very pleasant, you know, this old man would sit and, you know, clap his hands, try to sing bhajans in his own way. Very devoted to Swami. So, when this girl had got married and then she was going through this trouble, I believe Swami had asked Kasturi Sir to bring this old man along with his daughter and this son-in-law who was creating this trouble. And I believe in the interview room, Swami counseled him saying that, no, this girl is a very good girl. Don't unnecessarily suspect her. Don't, you know, trouble her. And I believe he didn't take Swami's word seriously and he stormed out to the interview room and all that. I think when they were on the return journey, I think they got into a train and I forget from which station. Those details are mentioned in Loving God. What happens is that he got into, because he was a railway employee, he got permission to get into a first class compartment because there was accommodation available there. The others, right. I think, traveled in a general right. compartment. And I think he was all alone in that compartment. And the story goes that somewhere in the middle of the night, he woke up and found that the entire compartment was red in color. And he found Swami standing right in front of him. And Swami gives him a whack, you know, a slap. And then he finds the entire compartment filled with Swami. And wherever he goes, he gets getting thrashed. And then how it finds out is when the train next station comes, he actually comes running out and sobbing, and over his sobs and a cup of tea, he narrated this episode to the station master. And of course, he was very kind to the girl after that. So when, of course, Kasturi Sir got to know, and I think in some context, Swami was mentioning that during the Shirdi days, he used to, you know, pretend to, you know, hit devotees and send them off.
True.
And, you know, he said that, no, currently I'm not like that. He said, in those days, I was like the mother who was cooking. And I don't like to be disturbed when I'm cooking. Currently, I'm serving. So I'm full of love. That's the analogy Swami gave. So he said, see, I don't hit people like that. And then immediately Kasturi Sir said, no, but Swami, this man is there. You know, you gave him a nice whack and narrated his entire story. And Swami says there, saying that, no, even that knows out of my love. So and made a very nice point. I think even that, possibly that's why Madhusudana sounds very beautiful, is though it maybe, is maybe. The one who annihilated Madhu, he does a smooth job of it. So painless.
Loving job.
So loving job of it. I think that's the only thing he's capable of.
So, something so that immediately comes to my mind when you talk about mother who's cooking and the mother who's serving. So if you actually, like what you were saying, the Shirdi avatar and Swami's avatar, Swami says, I'm not like that anymore.
Yeah.
So I think the Shiva aspect of the previous avatar and the Shiva Shakti aspect of Swami's avatar comes into picture there.
Absolutely.
So I will do both.
Yeah.
I will equally love you, but at the same time I'll be a father, a strict father as well.
The hard form of love and the soft form of love. Swami says like ice and water. He says that's a hard form of love, but then that's also love. I think that's the only thing he's capable of. I think that's his form. Like
the
he
cosmic
always says.
Father and the mother.
Cosmic father and mother. Absolutely. So nicely said. And what else can they be capable of but love? One more thing which comes to mind suddenly is a beautiful experience which was shared by one of our elderly Sai devotees here, Sri T.G. Krishnamurti. He used to be the former state president of the Sathya Sai organization, Tamil Nadu. He was mentioning that once he was speaking in Swami's presence, he was quoting a very well-known episode from the Bhagavatam. He talks about where, you know, Putana, is sent by, the demoness is sent by, you know, Kamsa to annihilate or try and annihilate Krishna, baby Krishna. So she comes and the way the scene is described in Bhagavatam apparently is that when Putana comes in, baby Krishna in the cradle is asleep and he has his eyes closed. Okay. So, when Sri T.G. Krishnamurti, he spoke in Swami's presence, he quoted from the Bhagavatam and said, he gives Vyasa's interpretation of it and said that actually the Lord was keeping his eyes closed because Swami's also told us that Putana in her previous incarnation was the daughter of Mahabali, you know, Bali Chakravarti.
Okay.
So,
very
and if you, the Vamana avatar. So what happens is, you know, when Vamana came and this lady, this woman sees the beautiful Brahmachari boy coming, she felt a great sense of maternal affection towards this boy. You know, she felt like a mother, no, maternal affection. She wished, she was possibly must have thought, I wish I had a child like this.
Child like this, yeah.
But later on, you know, when Mahabali, as the story goes, was sent to the netherworld by Vamana, there was a great sense of hatred. So there was this conflicting feeling of love and hatred. So I believe Vyasa says that he was actually thinking, this Putana has come now. Okay, so now she also loved me like a mother. She also hated me. So what kind of a moksha should I give her? You know, was what the Lord was thinking about is apparently what Vyasa has written in the Bhagavata. And this is what Sri T.G.K. narrates in Swami's presence. I believe that the moment the narration got over, Swami said, stop. He said, what did you say? He said, Swami, you're closing your eyes. No, Vyasa, closing your eyes because you're thinking. Okay, what mode should I use for moksha, giving her moksha? Swami says, who told you this? No. Vyasa question, who told you this? He says, Swami, Vyasa has written. And I believe T.G.K. uncle was telling us that Swami asked him, how does he know? And remember, that he is Vyasa.
Who is Vyasa to tell, talk about this?
Now, if you ask that kind of a question, now what do you say? And then I believe very beautifully Swami says, I. And Swami says, I. Swami didn't say Krishna. Swami says, he said, no, that is not the case. Swami says, I closed my eyes because if I just look at her, all her sins vanish.
How beautiful.
Okay. Then where's the question of me annihilating her? And as per the purpose of the avatar, I have to annihilate her. And I said, and thus I had to keep
That's
my eyes
plan.
Closed.
That's the plan. That's the master plan.
That's the master plan with a much larger purpose of welfare, even for Putana, I guess.
Correct.
So he had to keep his eyes closed. So beautiful. Now again, see again. So here, you talk of a demon as being annihilated. No, look at it, no? And you know, Madhusudana, and you rightly pointed out how sweetly it has been sung. Possibly it's because you take Krishna avatar, no? You look at the childhood. Right from, you know, if you see, it's like almost like in these video games, you keep seeing a demon after demon coming and this man, you know, this child annihilating. Now, if you look at it like a normal story, brother, it's a very gory story.
Actually,
it's bloodshed
yes.
after bloodshed. But then today you think of it very fondly. You True. Think of it as a play. And I think that's a style.
He has always done that as a play.
As a play.
In that avatar.
And you look at it as today a sweet act. I think, you know, Karshati te Krishna, the one who attracts. I think he infuses sweetness into whatever he does. So, very nice that you pointed out this. In fact, I think in Loving God, when he talks of translation, so this Kasturi sir writes a chapter on his translation, he also talks about how Swami gives unconventional twists to some words. In fact, there he says that while the word Madhusudana is interpreted as the one who annihilated the asura or demon Madhu, Swami gives a different interpretation. I believe Swami says Madhu literally also means nectar or honey. And honey, Swami equates to worldly pleasure. And Madhusudana is the one who destroys your, you know, attraction towards worldly pleasure. You know? So he gives a very... and he does it in
Only
his own
Only the Lord
way.
Can do this.
Absolutely. So I think, I mean, we're still in the first line of the bhajan, but I'm thinking how much of, you know, how much is there to talk about Madhusudana. So Hare Krishna Madhusudana, Hare Krishna Gunaranjana. So what comes to your mind when you say Gunaranjana?
So I'm literally at loss of words here. So when we say guna ranjana, so gunas, we talk about qualities or the three gunas here. So literally, when we say guna ranjana, so are we, is he the one who is giving, blessing you with these gunas, or is he the one, now after, especially after the first line, is he the one who is giving you all these gunas, or is he the one who is actually taking you out of these gunas?
Possibly.
So because somewhere we talk about, yes, rajas and then tamas or rajas.
And sattva.
Then there were somewhere an equilibrium, an equipoised state of a sattva guna.
Yeah.
But of course, there is a state beyond that as well.
Beyond the three gunas, absolutely.
So somewhere deep within, I'm thinking now, especially after the first line, so maybe he's the one who is actually here to take you out of all three gunas.
Absolutely.
Taking you to the state beyond all this.
Very true. In fact, yeah, maybe the word guna also could refer to the, you know, the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas here. You're absolutely right. In fact, you know, you mentioned that he's a person who gives you those gunas, who also frees you from those three gunas and takes you beyond those three gunas.
So the same creation and somebody who is actually taking you out of the creation as well.
Yeah. You know, brother, one strange coincidence, I just was thinking. You know, generally Tyagaraja is known for kritis on Rama. So at least there's one kriti in my limited understanding which I've heard of is, there's a kriti on Krishna which is, Ye Lara Krishna, Ye Lara. Have you heard this kriti?
Yes, I have.
So there's one beautiful line there where he talks of this play of words, like you're talking of how guna can mean two things, you know. He sings, I think he says,
Raga Rasika, Raga Rahita.
Raga Rasika, Raga Rahita. So Raga Rasika is one who enjoys raga. Okay, as in your raga as in, I think, a unique combination of notes and music as you talk about the different ragas. Raga Rasika, Raga Rahita. The one who's beyond raga, Raga Dvesha, you know that raga.
Tyaga Yoga Boga Balamo Naga Shayana.
The one who reclines on the serpent.
Nagari Puni.
You're also the enemy of the snake, you know, the Kaliya Mardana. So I think, and interesting, that's a Krishna bhajan, and we are talking about a, you know, Krishna's song, and we are talking about a Krishna bhajan. You're right, Guna Ranjana, the one who gives you great qualities, who in fact inspires you with his gunas, good qualities. At the same time, I think he takes you to a state which is beyond the three gunas.
I think the entire creation, brother, if you actually see, is both, and it cannot be so. Like how we say, so heat is also beautiful.
Hmm.
And the shower, the rain is also beautiful.
Yes.
If you don't have the heat, you don't appreciate the shadow of a tree.
Exactly.
If you don't have rain, you don't appreciate the beauty of so many things. So I think the entire creation has this
beautiful balance.
Both, right?
Very true. Very true. Hare Krishna Guna Ranjana. So my limited understanding of Sanskrit, and I could be, you know, majorly wrong here, but, you know, going by whatever I understand, Ranjana means the one who, you know, who delights. Guna Ranjana possibly means the one who, you know, kind of delights you through his good qualities. Very interesting, strange word for Krishna, no? Because you've not, we have always seen Rama as the person who is supposed, you know, the one who pleases.
The man of values.
The man of values. Ramayate iti Ramaha, as Swami keeps saying, you know, the one who, in fact, I believe that with Rama, no? What would happen is, okay, so sometimes what happens is you go and speak to somebody, you meet a great person, you feel at awe, okay, you feel what great, you know, what a great person this person is. I believe what used to happen when people met Rama is that at the end of it, they would feel great. I mean, they would feel that they are very big. And that's one quality I think Rama had, you know. Interesting that this is being attributed to Krishna, you know, Guna Ranjana.
Very unique and interesting.
You know, have you heard this in any other Krishna bhajan?
Absolutely.
As far as I remember, Guna Ranjana. Possibly it also means, like you suggested, no, for whom? The one who plays around with, I think, like you said, the entire creation is a combo of sattva, rajas and tamas. And I think
so if it was a Rama bhajan, we could think of, like what you said, we could immediately think of, yes, Rama, the man of perfect gunas, you know. And the ideal for everybody.
Yeah.
Whereas Krishna, the mischievous one.
Yes.
The most. Yeah, his ways are always not the straight ones.
Absolutely.
If you see, but yes. Yeah, of course, he, you know, nothing which endangered anybody. But
exactly.
That was the master plan.
The delightful play.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But in a way, yes, because if you see, you tend to delight. So whenever you want to, you know, feel a sense of delight, you immediately think of Krishna and his plays, and you know, you think of the Krishna who steals butter, which Swami says has a larger purpose. You know, brother, one interesting incident which comes to my mind, you know, again, I think I read this in one of Howard Muffett's books. I believe there was a scientist who used to work in Indian Institute of Science called, I don't remember his full name, but I think it's Professor Banerjee. Now, this gentleman used to have a very negative opinion about Krishna. In fact, he used to even go to the extent of saying, you know, any boy who is who keeps going around as very frivolous and stuff like that. He used to say that these are all, you know, modern Krishna. You know, that's how he used to call those boys. So he had that kind of an opinion about Krishna. So I believe that one day he was, I think, walking, going for his morning walk, and he was walking in a garden, possibly in Bangalore, because he used to work there. Suddenly, I believe from the opposite, there was a beautiful dark-colored form which came, and he couldn't, it was too fast for him to, you know, kind of understand what was happening. But there was a delightfully rain cloud-colored form which came opposite, and it just came and merged into him. And the moment it merged into him, brother, he says that he was in a great sense of delight and great sense of bliss. Not just that, he felt a great sense of purity. I think he's saying his entire vision was pure. And this state persisted. And remember, for a scientist, this can be scary. Because anything which they cannot explain becomes very scary for them. You know, the fear of the unknown. And if they're not able to rationalize it,
mind becomes more powerful for them then.
Exactly. And they have to put it into a theory. And if it doesn't fit into a theory, they get very scared. I think can happen to anyone, especially for a scientist. I think by then he was acquainted with Swami. And then when he goes back, and then I think Swami gives him an interview. And then I think Swami touches his head. And immediately that feeling goes. And I believe after that Swami told him, saying that all these days you experienced, no? That is Krishna. And from that moment, brother, his entire opinion about Krishna changes. You know, he stopped calling these boys modern Krishnas and stuff like that.
No, there is no entity for him called Krishna. It is the experience for him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And his entire opinion about Krishna. I think Swami used the best, you know, they say the most powerful learning moments in your life are always experiential. I think where you experience. So Gunaranjana that way. I think Krishna has that very naughty form outside, but I think a very delightful...
A very major purpose behind it.
Have you heard of the story where Swami talks about, you know, talking of the divine play and, you know, how he delights people through his divine play? Have you heard of the story of how Krishna used to, you know, when Gopikas needed help for carrying water pots, Krishna used to... Have you heard the story? If you haven't...
I think I have.
You have? So do you think we should quickly recount it possibly in the context of this bhajan?
I'm sure it will somewhere connect to the last line as well.
it will. Yadunandana. Correct. Absolutely. So Krishna, when he was Yadunandana, the small boy who was in the Yadukula, Yadu dynasty, Yadu clan, so in Vrindavan. So I believe what he used to do is he used to sit on these trees by the bank of the Yamuna and possibly play on his flute. And these Gopikas would come there to fetch water from the Yamuna. And naturally you have multiple pots to put on your head. You need to put it on your head. Now that takes effort to, you know, kind of hoist it on your head.
Yeah.
And somebody there who can do this for them will be helpful. Now one person was around with Krishna. And I believe the Gopikas would ask him for help, saying, please put this on my head. And Krishna would shake his beautiful curls and say, no, I wouldn't. Okay, flatly refuse. And they tried this daily, he wouldn't. But what would happen is, I believe, Swami says that the moment they... come near their residence, their place, they find the Krishna is already standing there. And even without their asking, he would come and volunteer and take that thing off their head. And this went on. So, one day I think one of the Gopikas asked him, saying that, Krishna, we don't understand your behavior. When we ask you for help to put this thing on our head, you know, the spot on our head, you say no, you don't help us. But then, unasked, you come and then you take it off our head. No, what's basically the point behind this? And Swami says that then Krishna said, he said, see, I will never add a load onto my devotee's head, but I'm very glad to take it away, you know, from the devotee's head.
Redemption is what is...
Absolutely. Yeah, he doesn't want to add any weight. Gunaranjana, you know, I think you're right. Behind, you mentioned this, saying that behind every playful act of Krishna, possibly there was a beautiful, subtle meaning, which I think that way Rama was easier. Apparently easier. Because I think he was straightforward with what he had to say.
More strict, I would say.
More strict. But in a sense, it was easy to possibly figure out what he was trying to say. Possibly. Maybe we could be wrong. But then with Krishna, I think you have to work really hard to get to what he...
Or blindly follow him.
Or blindly follow. Yeah.
If you want to take the easier route.
Absolutely. And both have its own set of difficulties. You know, blindly.
I think we have experienced that with Swami as well.
Absolutely.
At times, it's better to just blindly follow him.
Correct.
We keep talking about a lot of these very old devotees who have just blindly followed Swami's instructions.
Huh.
At times we would, with all our mind, we would think, okay, you should have probably gone and asked Swami. Swami, you asked me to do this, but this is what is happening there and all that. So I think it's better to just blindly follow him.
Absolutely. And that can be scary at times because you, in fact, I think it was Emerson, the philosopher, who said that a mystic is a person who has the courage to surrender to a love which is higher than human. You know, he uses the word courage because it requires courage to surrender
Absolutely.
To that love, because you don't understand that love. Because see, people like, you know, a lot like Krishna, no, you don't understand what he's going to do next. And then you don't know what he's up to. Now, how do you, you know, you're busy wondering, are you really serious? Or is it just one of your plays? Half the time you're you can even get the feeling, no, you're not really serious, okay? Because Gunaranjana, the one who prays around with the three gunas, what we consider the world and we talk of, we take it so seriously, brother. And he is busy playing with it. For him, he says, it's my play. So somewhere,
I mean, the entire creation is his play.
Exactly. And that scares you. You know why? Because you're wondering, all this is a play for you. And I'm taking it very seriously. I'm burning, you know, my, I lose my night's sleep thinking about this thing. And you say at the end of the day, it's all my maya, it's all my play.
That reminds me, one of the Swamiji's, I don't remember his name, one of his discourses, very jokingly, he was talking about Bhagavatam and all that. And suddenly he was like, Krishna is so mischievous, so playful, so naughty. Why are Krishna devotees, all of them, why are they so serious? I think connecting to what you said,
beautiful.
Trying to even assimilate or trying to even think about why is he doing all this? Okay, what is it behind this? So we become so serious.
Exactly.
So his play continues.
Exactly. And I think the point is there is, and I think what that Swamiji makes is that we should somehow imbibe that spirit of Krishna, saying, while you earnestly play your role, somehow be carefree and, you know, be like Krishna in terms of don't take it very seriously and get worked up on it. So, very beautiful. I think Yadunandana, I think somewhere we should imbibe that child. Like, because Krishna, if you see, has always been described as a child. Like a Ganesha, Sada Bala Rupa, Vignadri, you know, always happy. I've not seen a sad Ganesha so far. You know, doesn't suit him. So, I think always a child. I think somewhere imbibing that spirit. One final thought I'd like to, which comes to mind, which possibly I feel like sharing is, you know, especially Gunaranjana. We talked of Gunas, Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. There is a beautiful narration somewhere in one version of the Bhagavata which says that Lord, the Kaliya, the serpent, who was annihilated by Krishna, I believe when the Lord was dancing on him, he kept on spewing poison, you know. And I believe Krishna somewhere in the middle of the dance asks him, saying, and he's dancing on the serpent's head and the serpent is busy vomiting poison. And he says, Kaliya, I have been putting my feet on your head and what are you doing? You're spitting poison. And the poet who wrote this imagines and saying that I believe in as per the poet's imagination, Kaliya replies back to Krishna saying that he says, oh Lord Krishna, all that you have given me is poison. You have given me nothing else. And thus, I worship you with the only thing that you have given me, which is poison. So beautiful. It's a great hope-giving thing, brother, because sometimes, you know, we keep saying sattva, rajas, tamas. We have all that in us. If rajas is what I have, and Swami says it's about diverting. It's not about, you know, if he says, if you have anger, divert that towards God. You know, instead of, he doesn't say control. He says divert it towards the Lord. I think if you have rajas, divert it there. Tamas, divert it there. And that, I think that also gives an important lesson that it's wrong to judge. There are people, different people who come to Swami. There are people who serve Swami through their rajas. You know, through their aggression
true,
and activity.
They
serve Swami
and
through their tamas.
And that is probably required for
absolutely,
at that point in time in the avatar's mission.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
and he has the right work for the right person at the right time.
Absolutely. So much we can talk about. This is again a three-line bhajan, which is, I think, so much to it. Wonderful again talking to you, brother.
Such a great opportunity.
Thanks for all the wonderful insights that you shared.
Thanks to Swami. Thank you. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Balram Chandran, an alumnus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, in a conversation with Brother Mayur, recorded in the studios in Chennai. So with that, we move on to the last part of this program. You will now hear the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan.
Hare Krishna Madhusudana.
Hare Krishna Madhusudana.
Hare Krishna Madhusudana.
Hare Krishna Gunaranjana.
So it's time to draw the curtains on this program. Dear listeners, if you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosci.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.